Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello and welcome to another episode of our Standing on the Northbound podcast. This is a Swansea City broadcast from Wales Online. My name is Matt Davis, got Ian Mitchmore with me again. Plenty to talk about, Mitch. Not even really too sure where to start. But I think maybe we should go back to the events of the January 31st, end of the transfer window. A crazy day, really, which could have been a lot worse, really, than it eventually was. Remind us who left. We had Jefferson Montero.
Yep, so he's gone to West Brom on loan for the rest of the season. Tom Carroll, the same at Aston Villa. And, of course, Wilfred Bony's gone out to Qatar, to Al Arabi. So by the time he's done and dusted there, his contract will be up. So, yeah, just the three in the end. But, you know, it's by no means a positive window, keeping hold of another two that I'm sure we're going to discuss in depth very shortly.
You know, a victory of sorts, really, to keep hold of Daniel James. But I suppose it's the fact, really, that resonates for me that five players could have gone on deadline. Only three went, but they were quite willing to let five go.
Yeah, I mean, you know, some people were talking about it as a positive in the end, which, of course, it is keeping Leroy Fleurand, someone, you know, a young talent in Daniel James. But even with that, the three departures, you can't view that as a positive window. If anything, I'd look at it on the polar opposite of the scale. You know, you've lost three first-team players, and yes, we understand there's this restructuring process and needs must at the end of the day, particularly with, you know, the certain personnel that went, they haven't played key roles this season. You know, Boney had injury problems, only had seven games, one goal. Tom Carroll was out for best part of 3 months, I think, or maybe even more than that. And, you know, Montero had, I think it was 12 games, but none of them were starts. So if you are going to cut the squad, I can kind of understand why it was those. But, you know, you can't get around the fact that it was a torrid window. And I say window, it was all done on deadline day. And, you know, up until 7 o'clock on deadline day, there'd been no movement in or out of the club throughout the whole window. It was one of the quietest windows I've ever known.
Yeah.
And it was that, you know, the last 4 or 5 hours where it just went absolutely hectic. And like you say, it could have been a lot worse, but, you know, that's not a reason for fans to be cheering. They should be, you know, it's a case for answers, really, isn't it?
I mean, the Tom Carroll thing was just incredible, really. I mean, obviously you and I were in contact the whole day, and when that came around just before the deadline, 11 o'clock deadline, I don't know, that was almost the icing on the cake for me.
Yeah.
when that news broke, because that deal had not been trailed at all.
Not at all, no. And bearing in mind, obviously, he'd been out for so long, he'd returned to training about 2 or 3 weeks before the day he went. So there was a lot of talk of, you know, when's he going to be fit to return? And, you know, I think that's what everyone was gearing up to. You know, is he going to, bearing in mind, Leroy Fleur got injured against Birmingham. You know, people were thinking, right, Tom Carroll's going to come back against Bristol City in 2 days, you know, after the window. And, you know, obviously that wasn't to be the case. So, you know, it was one of those where I think the first people heard of it was when it was formally announced. It was so out of the blue, and, you know, it really was out of the blue. But keeping Leroy Fleur, I mean, I think that was important. Your fans are understandably divided on him because he is a hit and miss player. He can have great performances, as we saw at Villa in the Cup, but other ones where, you know, it's maybe that consistency. But yeah, you know, it's a tough old window, and, you know, you feel for the fans in many ways, and especially Graham Potter as well.
Oh, absolutely. Really feel. And also, no incomings. I mean, I don't think anyone was particularly surprised. There weren't that many names linked over the month. We had Lawrence Shanklin from Ayr. I think the right back from Atalanta, was it Timothy Castagna?
Castagna. There weren't many, and even the ones that were, we were sort of quickly being told no go. So it was, you know, it was depressing.
It's really concerning, and it sort of hammers home, and it's a continuation of the poor summer they had. We worked it out, didn't we? That there was
So last summer there were 13 players who left, plus the three players who left on after the loan deal. So Renato Sanchez, Tammy Abraham, and Andy King. So 16 altogether.
And then plus
another three now in jet. So that's 19. No signings in January, just six signings last summer, and the oldest of them was Barry Mackay, who was 23 at the time. So, you know, you're not bringing in like-for-like replacements. These are players for the future. Yes, he's obviously brought in plenty from the academy, but how much of that is through... I don't want to do anybody a discredit, because they are through merit, because they've warranted the places, but a lot of it was through necessity as well. So, yeah, Potter's having his hands tied, and, you know, I think they added another rope around his wrists in January, and he's still doing a great job. So
I mean, he spoke on deadline day, didn't he? There was a presser at deadline day, and he did seem, I suppose the phrase would be cheesed off with what seemed to be happening around him.
Yeah.
And you can't blame him really either, because he's, as you said, he's almost having the rug pulled from underneath his feet as he's, you know, trying to move this club forward.
Yeah, you know, we had the statement from the Americans back in September, talking about the hard medicine that needed to be taken, and, you know, that happened last summer, it's happened again in January. You know, how often is it going to keep happening? You know, is it going to happen again in the summer? By all accounts, it looks like it will. To what extent remains to be seen, because we've heard nothing since Hugh Jenkins' departure, which we'll get onto in a bit. But, you know, fans are in the dark at the moment, and that's just not on. And like I say, Potter just keeps focusing on matters on the pitch, which, to his credit, he's doing a very stable job with, given what he's got to work with. You know, he's got a lot of inexperienced players there, and he seems to be getting out the best out of them at the moment. Yeah. So, yeah, it's time for answers. That's all I can say, really.
It's, well, all of this is quite muddled anyway, isn't it? We'll move on to Hugh Jenkins leaving. I mean, obviously, the wrangle over Daniel James and the fact that the transfer didn't go through at the 11th hour, it all seems to be that there was a disagreement right at the top table over that, and that's probably the straw that broke the camel's back for Jenkins.
Yeah, it looks to be the way. I mean, that 3 days or so from deadline day was on the Thursday, then the Bristol game was on the Saturday, so in the space of 3 days, things had gone from, you know... Bearing in mind, Swans were unbeaten in January. On the pitch, it was excellent. They got through to the fifth round of the FA Cup, some good wins against Villa and Gillingham. And it was really, really positive. And then all of a sudden, that enthusiasm gets sapped with a horrible deadline day. Disappointing defeat at Bristol City. You know, they're a team bang in form. And in the end, probably just about had the better quality, although Swansea were right in that game. And all of a sudden, you're talking 3 days of, you know, turbulent time sort of saps all that enthusiasm that's been built over a long month. And it culminated with Hugh Jenkins resigning. You know, I mean, I can't repeat the chants that were sung at Ashton Gate over the podcast, but, you know, for those that were there and those that have seen the articles I've written, you know, there's several asterisks used in the copy, you know, and they made the voices known, and understandably so, and in the end he made the decision, or was pushed, remains to be seen, with the statement, sort of conflicting statement that came out of the club on the Saturday night after the Bristol game. So, but ultimately he has gone, and here we are just over a week after, talking about how the club can, you know, try and move forward, and yet we're still waiting for answers from those about 3,000 or 4,000 miles away in America.
The club released a statement on Jenkins, and they late on Saturday evening, saying that they wanted to draw a line under a difficult period. I don't know, I think there's got to be a bit of, as you say, there's got to be answers from the American owners over that, and also some responsibility of their role in where the recruitment issues. I mean, you know, Hugh Jenkins is a very divisive character. I think it's okay to realise that he did a fantastic job early on in his tenure, and the fact that the last few years have not gone well at all. Recruitment has been really poor. Some really expensive gambles really haven't paid off.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I thought that maybe the statement could have sort of alluded, or at least accepted, that there was responsibility needs to be taken by those still there for the problems that are ongoing.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it was very conflicting. You read through the lines, and, you know, it's saying he's resigned from his post. Then you're reading the quote saying that he had to go. So was he pushed? Did he walk? it remains clear. Unclear from that statement. So until you get clarity from Steve Kaplan and Jason Levine, it's you know, we're not going to know the exact ins and outs on that.
No,
you know, it was obviously Hugh Jenkins himself is going to keep some things private. You know, he has given interviews since he resigned, but there's obviously only so much he can say. But as for those who are currently at the club, I mean, you know, they've spoken about bringing in not a replacement, but for someone to deal with day-to-day basis of football operations. And Graham Potter spoke last week about Kyle McCauley, who followed him from Östersunds in Sweden last summer to Swansea. He was named as head of recruitment back then. How much he's been able to do in that role remains to be seen, because, you know, it looks like he's not been allowed to recruit. So, you know, he's going to take on a lot more of the day-to-day work that is left from Jenkins' departure. But as for everything else, and in terms of does someone else come in, it remains to be seen. And you know, those conversations are being had behind the scenes. So,
following on from Jenkins leaving, there was obviously the protest march in Swansea last Saturday ahead of the Millwall game. There seems to be sort of a growing mobilisation amongst the fan base, doesn't there?
There does, yeah. I mean, you know, especially after the events that we've mentioned, you had the noise, if you want to call it that, at Ashton Gate, which is not, you know, it's nothing new. We heard it when Bob Bradley was at the club. We heard it on, you know, after the summer deadline when Swansea beat Millwall. You know, there were chants there, and you know, they're trying to make their voices heard for the good of the club, the other supporters. And you know, with this protest march before the Millwall game, you know, they're marching from the city centre to the ground, and obviously they were stood outside the main entrance at the ground before kickoff as well. And you know, there was a decent number.
I think it was a decent number.
You know, I think there were some. We spoke to a lot of fans beforehand, didn't we? I mean, there were sort of concerns that it would be a bit of a damp squib. You know, the weather wasn't great, and you know, there's quite a long walk as well. But in credit to those who were keen to be a part of that protest, they went on the march. You know, they made their voices heard, and they were seen. And you know, we were running the footage and quotes and everything on that on our Wales Online blog before the Millwall game. And you know, it was fans are doing their best to get this club back on track, really. And I suppose that's all they can do at the moment, really, until they hear any more from those above at the club.
Chris Pearlman sort of stood in for Hugh Jenkins in terms of the programme notes. He mentioned the Daniel James deal and said that basically the terms were not to their, I can't remember the exact terminology he used.
Not suitable terms.
Not suitable terms, or not acceptable terms. But what if then in the summer those terms are acceptable? Suggests to me that that deal will still go through, and any other deals, you know. And for the players that are left behind as well, you know, you saw certain players commenting on social media on transfer deadline day. what message does it send out to people like Joe Roden, Conor Roberts, McBurney? You know, what's going to happen to them this summer, which is, I think, a real concern. Because if anything, you know, if last summer and this and January just gone and there's anything to go by, there's going to be further, to use the Americans' term, hard medicine to take.
Yeah, that's why there needs to be clarity, because until there is, you know, it's one thing talking about fans being out of the loop and not knowing the full situation, but you're talking about the players' livelihoods, Graham Potter, his coaching staff. These people, you know, they'll obviously know far more than the public do in terms of what exactly are the plans, but do they know the full SP on that? It remains to be seen. You know, you mentioned some of the names there who have just signed contracts, for example, Roden, Conor Roberts, and you know, they are in talks with others, which we'll come on to, but you know, they're pledging their futures to this club, and you know, they deserve to know where the club are going. And coming back to that statement you touched on from Chris Pearlman, again, it was, you know, somewhat conflicting, where one minute he's saying that they had no intention of selling Daniel James, and then you read his quotes and he says the terms weren't agreeable, which suggests, and I don't think I'm reading too much into this, but it suggests that if the terms were agreeable, he'd have been on his way. So again, it's that conflict of what people are saying. You know, it's there needs to be more clarity. There really does.
We could almost devote a whole podcast to all these the subjects that we've done so far. So, but let's try and turn to some happier topic of conversation. We'll turn to the Millwall game. 1-0 win. Could have been more, but they could have also thrown it away. A typical Swansea performance, really, of this season. They were impressive in patches, but there was that concern that they could have come away with less than 3 points. Let's talk George Byers. Excellent goal.
Yeah,
took it well. Slight deflection, I think, but he's been prepared to take shots as well, which is something that I'm sure fans will appreciate.
Yeah, it's funny you mention that. We were just talking about that before we started recording. You know, we saw Bersant Salina score a stunner against Gillingham a few weeks back, and you know, he said after the game, "I just need to shoot more." And that sounds ridiculously simple, but you know, there's been times where Swansea have been in good positions and they've just not had, whether it's the confidence or the belief, I don't know, but you know, they've not had taken shots at goal where maybe they could have. George Byers had, I think he had 3 shots in the first half before his goal, one of which drew a really good save quite early on, after about 10-15 minutes or so, I believe, and he was actually the best threat, I thought, and obviously he has a shot for the goal, gets blocked and has another go, and you know, tiniest of deflections, but take nothing away from him, he was bold enough to keep persisting, and he got his rewards in the end with, you know, his first senior goal. So pleasing for him, an academy product who's probably going to play more prominent role now.
Yeah.
He's someone who can adapt as well. Obviously, he played in the number 10 role a bit higher up against Bristol City, and obviously with Fur still out injured and Fulton didn't play against Millwall, it meant Byers played a little bit deeper against Millwall. So you know, it's a big positive for Potter having someone who's versatile, can play around the pitch, obviously, which needs to be done when you've got a threadbare squad and you have a few injuries as well. So no, really pleasing for him, and you know, another tip of the hat to the team at the academy.
Yeah, I think that, well, Potter praised the work of the academy earlier at his press conference, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
And it's all well deserved. I mean, Byers had to bide his time, hasn't he? I think he started the season with a slight knock and saw players such as Jan Danda get a chance in pre-season, and Daniel James. So perhaps I think maybe going back this time last year, you know, Byers would probably be ahead of those players, or certainly ahead of James. But he had to really wait for his opportunity, and it's good to see that he's now getting that chance. Okay, checks notes. What have we got here? Leeds United.
Yeah, back to the controversial stuff, I think.
It's, I mean, you're looking forward to going up to Elland Road, aren't you?
I am. Yeah, you know, it's a big test for Swansea.
Yeah.
This is a really, really big test, make no mistake. You know, they've had a bit of a blip lately since the Spygate row and Marcelo Bielsa's presentation. I think they've won only 1 of 4 since that all unfolded. But yeah, historically, they're a massive club. Big ground, it'll be a good atmosphere, and, you know, it's...
And the lights as well, I can imagine it'd be a great atmosphere.
Wednesday night, yeah, no TV cameras either. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of focus on Daniel James, obviously, but this is a big test for Swansea. You know, some of the other players have got to step up to the mark. You know, depends on who's available. Obviously, we know Ollie McBurney's struggled with an illness and he started on the bench against Millwall. There's a chance that he might not be able to start against Leeds, or it remains to be seen whether he'll be fully fit. He's going to be assessed at the last minute. Wayne Routledge is still struggling with a calf problem after returning at the weekend. And Declan Johns picked up an ankle knock as well. So there's a few concerns, but whoever does come in, it's a massive test for them. And, you know, it's one you've got to relish as a player in the Championship at the moment.
I mean, it's hard to put yourself in the sort of mindset of another person, obviously. It's almost impossible. But you think with James going there, he'd want to do well for more than one reason, really.
Absolutely. I mean, it's personal pride. He's a professional footballer.
Yeah.
He wants to do well for his club, the club that have had him since, was it 2014? His family, you know, there's so much at stake for him. This isn't just a case of, all right, you know, it nearly happened, it's okay if my head's not in it. Well, that's just not acceptable, you know, and I'm not for one second saying that he thinks it would be. I think, if anything, quite the opposite. I think he's going to be bang up for this one. If it doesn't work out for him and, you know, he doesn't have the best of games, well, you know, it is what it is, but I don't see it, this whole debacle that unfolded on deadline day, affecting him one bit, to be honest. Potter said that, you know, publicly, which he's obviously going to. He's going to defend his players to the hill. But yeah, I think it's a big opportunity for him in particular.
He was adamant, Potter, wasn't he, that it wouldn't be a risk to play him.
Mm.
Said it would be. He said he'd have no qualms playing him, and that was shown against Millwall as well, wasn't it? Because he took him out of the firing line against Bristol, probably a good idea, but he was right back at it then against Millwall.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's only 21 years of age, and this is his first full season in pro football. Obviously, last year he made his debut against Notts County. Was supposed to be at Shrewsbury, but obviously that didn't work out, and he came back without playing a single minute for them. So it's been tough for him. He's had setbacks, and he had his injury in December as well at Derby, I think it was, where he missed a couple of weeks. So, you know, he's obviously got a good mindset where he can cope with these setbacks, because we saw it against Millwall where he was taken out of the firing line at Bristol, which I thought was a good move for all concerned, not just for the Swans, but for Potter, and particularly for James as well, just to get his head over what had been a tough few days, really. And I thought he was very impressive against Millwall, as he was against Birmingham in the game before the deadline day. So yeah, a lot of eyes on him, and I expect him to be fine to go. I think the only concern was that obviously with the cup game against Brentford on Sunday, that it could be three games in a week.
Yeah.
He played the full 90 minutes against Millwall, and you know, quick turnaround. But speaking to Graham Potter today, he didn't have any issues that he'd be able to feature up there.
Okay. What's the injury situation? McBurney's possibly struggling.
Yeah, so he started on the bench at Millwall. He's still not fully over that, but there's
he's been ill, has he?
Yeah, I suspect he'll be involved. Whether he starts remains to be seen.
He'll have points to prove it as well at Leeds.
Yeah, of course he will. You know, it's a big opportunity for him. Yeah, he wants to prove. You know, he had his loan spell at Barnsley, did well. He's had a great season so far with Swansea, and you know, going up to there, he wants to show that he is the real deal, which I think Swansea fans certainly think he is. And yeah, so it'd be interesting to see whether he does feature, because, you know, give him his credit, Courtney Baker-Richardson ran his socks off against Millwall, but there was precious little in the way of end product, which was, I wouldn't say concerning, but, you know, it doesn't fill you with confidence for the future, you know, if McBurney was to be out for the long term.
Yeah, we've talked about that before, haven't we?
We have, yeah, absolutely. And obviously with Boney going as well, you know, they are down to the bare bones up top. So, yeah, I think McBurney will play in some part. And then elsewhere, as I said, 50-50 on Declan John, as Graham Potter said today, with an ankle problem. So
and Fair's out as well, isn't he?
Fair's still out, yeah. He's in good mood. I think Potter spoke to him yesterday. Players haven't trained on Sunday or today on Monday as we record, so they're going to train on Tuesday before the game and then head up to Leeds, so...
Okay.
A few things for him to ponder.
He also commented on the contract situation. I don't think there was anything major to report in terms of updates, but there was a question about Wayne Routledge, wasn't there, I think?
Yeah, I mean, he revealed last week the talks with Van der Horn, Leroy Fer and Daniel James, and then obviously Courtney Baker-Richardson assigned a one-year deal this week as well. And then obviously that leaves Naar Singh out of contract in the summer, who you suspect will be allowed to leave given his wages, and obviously he's not played under Potter yet this season. Wilfred Boney, he'll be out of contract, but obviously he's already gone to Al Arabi. So that just leaves the only other one is Wayne Routledge. So, you know, 34 years of age, he's the oldest member of the current squad. He's the second most longest serving behind Nathan Dyer after joining in 2011. So, you know, he looked for all the world to see to be going in January as well. Then he came back into the first team mix in December, I think it was, at Brentford, and he's proven his worth. You know, he's had a couple of injury problems in the last 2-3 weeks with a calf problem, but I think of the options that they've got on the wing at the moment, he's looking like one of the ones that you'd say keep him on. You know, he knows the club, he's experienced, he's still got his pace given his age, which is a credit to the way he's looked after his body physically. So I think there's every chance that there could be an extension there, and you know, Potter didn't give any indication that was imminent or that discussions had even taken place at the moment, but yeah, by all accounts it's something that could well be on the cards, really.
Yeah, well, it's a big week really for them, isn't it? You know, a big away game, a big test, and then obviously the FA Cup game on the weekend. You know, that's a huge opportunity for them.
Massive, yeah. I mean, you know, starting it with a win against Millwall just sets them up so well for this tough period, because you know, if they go up to Elland Road and lose, as long, you know, you hope there's a performance there, but you know, it's no disgrace losing to a top team like that. You'd like to think that they've got enough in their ranks. You know, you look at the first game where it was a 2-2 draw. It was one of the most exciting championship games I've watched for, well, probably this season, in fairness. Chances galore for both teams, and it could have been 4 or 5 all. So
it was a great game.
It was, yeah. So, you know, they've got no reasons to fear playing Leeds, and I don't think they do. You just hope that they can deliver, and, you know, if one or two injury problems, you know, if they happen to be better than we think at the moment, McBurnie, if he's fresh and firing, that would be a huge plus. So, yeah, it's a big week, and, you know, get a positive result at Leeds that sets them up perfectly for a home game against Championship opposition in the FA Cup. So, big week.
Excellent. Okay, well, we'll wrap it up there. You can have all the latest Swansea City news on Wales Online, or we're on Twitter at Swansea City Live, and search for us on Facebook as well. And we'll be back next week. Thank you.
Cheers all.